Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Monday, July 8th was WNYC's 95th anniversary. And to mark the occasion, we asked Andy Lancet, the station's chief archivist, to share some of his favorite programming from the station's history.
This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.
New York City's own station, WNYC, in the city where more than 7 million people live in peace and enjoy the benefits of democracy.
Andy, welcome back to All of It. Time for Andy in the Archives. So to start us off, I understand you have some audio from the reenactment of the station's very first broadcast. When was this made?
Okay, this was a broadcast from July 8th, 1948, to mark our 24th anniversary and the beginning of our 25th anniversary year. Now, I don't know who the host was, but it was a review of the station's history from 24 forward, and it contained reenactments, and they actually recruited our founder, Grover A. Whalen, to play himself along with the Police Glee Club, and our first announcer, who was still there at the time, Tommy Cowan, to intro Commissioner Whalen.
It was 1924, on July 8th, just 24 years ago, that the first signal of station WNYC was lifted into the hot winds of lower New York, and this voice was heard saying,
"Today, the city of New York takes its place in the field of radio broadcasting. The Municipal Voice of Greater New York now presents your host and chairman, the Honorable Grover A. Whalen.
It gives me great pleasure to launch this, the Voice of New York, onto the airwaves. There to join the great and glowing fraternity of free American channels of communication. Radio broadcasting stands today as one of the most important educational media. It would be pure negligence upon the part of the city to overlook this avenue towards the instruction and enlightenment of the citizens. It is partially for this reason that I have asked the administration to create this radio station, WNYC."
And so began the first broadcast of what was to become America's greatest non-commercial radio station, WNYC.
In turns, the speaker, the Honorable Grover A. Whalen, introduced the mayor of the city of New York, the late John F. Hyland.
The borough president of Queens.
The borough president of Manhattan.
John Bowles of the Little Jesse James Company, who sang.
So did Claire Luce, who was of the same theatrical troupe.
Vincent Lopez and his orchestra played dance music.
Vinnie Warwick of the Metropolitan Opera Company sang.
Enrique Madriguera led his dance band.
The Happiness Boys did a novelty number.
Vaughn DeWeese, the famous radio singer of the early 20s, sang, as did the Police Glee Club.
So, Andy, why did they have to reenact the initial broadcast? Did they not record back then?
That's correct. The technology and equipment for instantaneous recording, that's what they called it, of broadcasts had yet to become widespread until the 1930s, which is why there are relatively few broadcast recordings in general from the 20s. What were developed and stations eventually got in the 1930s were record lathes that allowed them to use lacquer-coated aluminum discs into which recording grooves were cut during the broadcast to make the recordings. And I have here a aluminum-based disc.
You brought visual aids.
I brought a 16-inch lacquer disc.
Look
which
at
you
that.
Can see. It looks like a very big record. If you consider an LP is 12 inches in diameter, this is 16, so it's somewhat larger. And it's aluminum-based lacquer coating, so they could make a cutting as opposed to what we typically consider records, which are pressings.
That's so beautiful. I just took a picture, everybody. If you go to our Instagram, I'll post it at All of It WNYC. Thank you so much for bringing... That's what a nice surprise. Okay,
so anyway,
WNYC
didn't have the full complement of cutters until actually 1937 when our new studios came on board.
So tell me about the man who helped make WNYC possible. Who was he?
His name was Grover A. Whalen. That's A for Aloysius, and he was named for President Grover Cleveland. And he was a public relations man for John Wanamaker, the department store magnate who transferred his PR skills to the city as the official greeter of visiting dignitaries. He was also police commissioner for a while, and he was the head man for the 1939-1940 World's Fair. But it was as commissioner commissioner of Bridges, Plant, and Structures, basically the Public Works Department, that he convinced the borough president of Queens to propose funding for a, quote, municipal wireless broadcasting station. And that proposal was made to the Board of Estimate, and they approved $50,000 for it. And here's a clip from WNYC founder Grover Whalen talking about why he wanted a public radio station here in New York.
For years, a lot of folks thought that WNYC's voice should be still. But since I was the father of it, I felt that one of the things that was most important in New York, that there should be a station that didn't have to follow the dictates of any commercial sponsor in order to use the air for the benefit of the people of this great city. You know, few of us have a voice in the affairs of a great country or a great city. But through the municipal radio station WNYC, I have heard youngsters given an opportunity to show their talents and to demonstrate whether they should have an opportunity to go on in the world of opera, song, or drama, as well as the services of the people having an opportunity to tell the people about the health situation, what the fire department, police department, sanitation department, and all the services of our city are rendering in our interest. Because when you think of this city of 8 million people with 2 million daily visitors, you are thinking and living in terms of a great country.
Grover Aloysius Whalen.
You got it.
All right, now let's listen to some of the programming that he wanted to provide the city. We asked you to tell us some of your favorite programs in the archives, what they are, and you enthusiastically recommend Cornelia Otis Skinner. Who was she, and what is monology?
I suppose you could say the art of dramatic monologues would cover monology, and Cornelia Otis Skinner was a practitioner of it, author and character actress who pioneered monologues as an art form. And here are some highlights from a WNYC broadcast in the early 1940s of some of her sketches. It was titled Times Square at the Theater Hour.
So I says, listen, bozo, any guy that takes me to the automat when I'm all dressed up for a ritzy nightclub don't go so big with me. Sure, he was saying we get a bite at the automat so's not to be conspicuous. I guess he was afraid some of the guys from home would catch him and tell the wife, see? So I says, that may go big in Canton, Ohio, but I'm busy. He turned out a dud, all right. I didn't think he was so hot when I seen him in the front row. No, it was Hazel said go ahead and step out with him, that he was a big butter and egg man. He's a big piece of cheese is what he is. I know them kind. Back home, he passes the plate in church and makes speeches on the 4th of July. Then he comes to New York, takes out a hard-working girl, and at the end of the evening gives her the Gideon Bible out of his room at the Allerton. Oh, say, listen, mate, we're late as blazes, and if we miss that ensemble scene, we'll get fired sure as you live. That new stage manager's a honey. Oh, say, listen, mate, will you lend me some of your liquid white, 'cause mine's all gone.
Reggie, don't be absurd. It's only a block and a half. If I can walk that fast, certainly you can. You're always complaining about not getting enough exercise. Because, Reggie, as I told you before, if you'd only listen, they won't let him turn left. He'd have to drive clear to Nance Avenue, and with traffic what it is, we'd miss half an hour getting there. No, I don't intend to course till the light changes. As it is, we'll probably have to stand for the first scene. Because it's the guild, Reggie. They won't let you in during the shorter scenes. You wish they wouldn't let us in at all. Oh, Lord, Reggie, that's so typical of you. The minute you have to go to anything that's at all worthwhile, you act like a perfect ogre. Here's a play that all intelligent New York's talking about, and you'd rather go to bed or the Follies. The play? You don't know what the play is? And it got the most marvelous reviews. Because you never read anything but the stock market. Why, I'm trying to think, Reggie. The name's escaped me for the moment. It's something of Maxwell Anderson. I mean Clifford Odets. Oh, Lord, Reggie, I don't know. You've got me so upset. Bringing that awful man from Springfield for cocktails when I wanted a dress. Well, if he's such an important customer, why didn't you take him to the Wackett Club? Oh, Lord, Reggie, if only you take an interest in something besides business. If you knew how bored I get, how starved I am for a little intelligent conversation.
She's a character. I know why you like that one. So who's another character who graced the station's airwaves over the years?
Well, the legendary folk singer, songwriter Woody Guthrie was a regular guest on the station from the 40s into the early 50s, especially on Lead Belly's show, Folk Songs of America, which was produced by the late Henrietta Yurchenko. And here's a clip from the show from December 12th, 1940.
Well, I think now we're going to sing one. Here's a song here that has to do with a book and a motion picture that come out here a while back by the name of The Grapes of Wrath, wrote down by a man, John Steinbeck, that threw the pack on his back and went right out amongst the people to see just what was going on in the United States. And it just so happened that he hit a jackpot because he knew where he was going. He knew what he was writing about. So I didn't read the book, but then I seen the picture three times. And I come home and I sat down and I wrote up a little piece about it. The name of this is The Ballad of Tom Joad. Tom Joad got out of that old McAllister pen. There he got his parole. After 4 long years on a man-killing charge, Tom Joad come a-walking down the road, poor boy. Tom Joad come a-walking down the road. It was there he found him a truck-driving man. There he got him a ride. Said, I just got a loose from the old penitentiary. Charge called homicide, poor boy, it was a charge called homicide. That truck rolled away in a big cloud of dust. Tommy turned his face toward home. Met Preacher Casey and they had a little drink and he found that his family, they was gone. He found that his family, they was gone. Tommy went down to the neighboring farm. There he found his family. They took Preacher Casey and loaded in a car. And his mammy said, we've got to get away, Tom. His mammy said, we've got to get away. Now the 12 of the Joads made a mighty heavy load. Grandpa Joad, he cried. And he grabbed up a handful of land in his hand and said, I'm sticking with the farm till I die. Great God, I'm sticking with the farm till I die.
Ah, Woody Guthrie. So what was it about Guthrie's presence on the station that really moved you?
Well, he was comfortable here. There was never any pretense. Woody was just Woody, at home, at ease, and honest and easygoing. As he used to say, take it easy, but take it.
Andy, as always, thank you, and a very special thank you for helping us with the station's history on its 95th birthday. Now, if people want to learn more about New York Public Radio's archives, where should they go?
Well, to hear more programs, past programs, go to Archive Collections. That's a link at the bottom of the WNYC.org homepage. Also, listeners can subscribe to the New York Public Radio History Notes e-newsletter by going to WNYC.org/newsletters. And a special thanks to the New York City Municipal Archives for help with today's program.
Andy, thank you.
Thank you.